to the Pitched Industries podcast.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome back to another episode of the Pitched Industries podcast. My name's Nick White, and for those of you who might be stumbling across this podcast for the first time today, this is where I sit down and have conversations with some of today's most successful creatives and ask them questions about how they have gotten to where they are today, things they have learned from their journey so far, advice they would give aspiring creatives and students now, as well as a heap of other stuff. Today, I'm super excited to be sharing a conversation I had with the crazy talented photographer, Luke Shadbolt. Luke's work has graced the pages of just about every good surf magazine there is, and has won more awards than I have time to mention. His work has also been featured by Time Magazine, Monster Children, Bliss Mag, and so many others. On this episode, Luke talks about what he learned from his time as the art director at Le Boogie Magazine, what it's like to collaborate and work alongside his wife, Nicole Vaughan, the importance of networking and getting outside your comfort zone, advice for photographers and creatives starting out today, as well as so much more. I'm sure you guys are going to get so much out of today's episode with Luke. So without me rambling on any longer, let's get straight into it. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Mate, there's so many things that I'm wanting to discuss with you today, and I'm stoked to finally have the chance to ask a few of them. But before I jump into them, I just want to kind of run over a few quick questions to sort of let our audience better get to know you. Are you all good with that?
Sure, let's do it.
Sweet. So where do you currently call home?
I've actually just moved to New York about 3 months ago with my wife. Yep. So here is home for the foreseeable future, but it's been really interesting how quickly here has felt like home. I've only ever lived on the Central Coast at North of Oka, so this is my first time living in a city, which is interesting.
How do you find New York?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I've done enough traveling over the years that I enjoy cities, but it's different to actually be based here for longer than a couple of weeks at a time. I wasn't entirely sure how I would take to it, and like the first morning we were here, I kind of had a little freak out and was really questioning what I was doing, But from then on, it's just been such an inspiring contrast to life at home, which has been, yeah, incredible.
Yeah, awesome. So is it cats or dogs for you, Luke?
I love both, but actually I have a cat that I had to leave at home with my parents, who I'm missing very much. So I'll say cat.
All right, sweet. And what is your favorite quote?
This was a tough one. I mean, there's a quote that I always say, which is kind of an annoying quote. It's a bit of a joke, but yeah. I'll always just say not with that attitude.
Okay.
If someone says something can't be done, or like they're being a bit negative about something,
yeah,
I'll say yeah, not with that attitude.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm a perpetual optimist, but also a bit of a realist. So, I mean, it's a joking quote, but there's definitely an underlying seriousness to it.
Yeah.
And also just the old treat others how you'd like to be treated is a great one to live by as well.
Yeah. Do you often find yourself saying not with that attitude to yourself at times?
No, actually, probably the opposite. I tend to think I can do things without actually knowing how to do them.
Hey, that's a good way to be.
If I don't know how to do something, I'm quite happy to go out and figure out how to do it. Yeah. Either get hands-on or research or a combination of both. You know, I think anything is achievable within reason, but yeah, that's the sort of mindset I have.
So what's your favorite thing that you like to do in your own time?
Oh yeah, I mean, I love surfing. I grew up bodyboarding and yeah, loved that. And then kind of got more into surfing in my early 20s, which I think is really hard to start surfing later in life. You don't have that sort of foundational surfing experience. So it's taken me about 10 years or longer to be able to say that I can surf.
Yeah.
But it's been, yeah. So surfing, I mean, I love food, big fan of delicious food. I love cooking and just spending time in nature.
Do you often find yourself now that you're surfing a lot more, do you often have to make the tough decision of whether to shoot or surf?
Not so much. I mean, the things that I like to shoot, I wouldn't necessarily surf.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a lot of the things that I like to shoot can't necessarily be surfed.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen someone trying to surf some of the waves in your Maelstrom series. That would have been something special to watch, I think.
It's something that I've often thought about because, I mean, you know, obviously being there and experiencing it in person, I have a certain sense of scale, but because I was, you know, actively taking out any landmarks and kind of leaving a bit of a mystery,
yeah,
it's hard to actually gauge just how big and incredible those waves are. I always try and picture how big a person would actually be in one of those scenes. And, you know, even just being able to paddle around in that sort of active an ocean,
yeah,
it would just be mayhem. I actually did try and shoot a lot of that from water on a much smaller day and like a much, much smaller day. And even that was crazy. Like, it was like 3 foot. I was testing the waters and it was just mayhem, you know, rips and wash and just chaos.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. What's a book that you would recommend to our audience?
I've just started reading The Unnatural World by David Biello.
Okay.
It's about humanity's impact on the Earth and bringing in a new geological epoch. Yeah, so I definitely recommend that. And
yep, it's on
also
the list.
Also anything by Bret Easton Ellis or Chuck Palahniuk. I'm a big fan of both of those guys.
Awesome. Well, yeah, there's three just straight on my list right now. Bang. and the last one, if you could sit down and drink a beer and have a conversation with anyone in the entire world, who would that person be for you?
Probably a bit of a controversial one, but I'd love to sit down with Donald Trump and have a beer with him.
Try and talk some sense into him or what?
Yeah, I'm not a supporter of his by any means, but he's just such an enigma. Like it's like the whole situation is quite mind-boggling. And one thing I try not to do, which I'm definitely not successful at by any means, but I try not to judge people. I try and understand where they're coming from because, you know, ultimately we're all just, you know, accumulated experience of our own lives. We all have our own motivations for doing what we do. So it's kind of where and how and why did they get to this point and come to this idea and what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how it all progresses, especially now after the midterms, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I think he would just be an incredibly interesting person to have a beer with.
Yeah.
On a lot of different levels.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. So now that those short and sharp questions are out of the way, I'd like to sort of start off at the beginning. Could you talk to us a little bit about where your journey really started for you and maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself?
I grew up on the central coast of New South Wales. I grew up surfing and bodyboarding and grew up around the ocean. And I was always drawing and painting, and I never really got into photography until later in life, but, you know, I was always very interested in creating. But I think as much as I liked creating, I didn't see as much of a utility value or future career path at a younger age. So yeah, that whole thing got taken over by surfing, and eventually after high school, I went to uni and didn't really know what I was doing with my life.
Yep.
I did a year of arts, which is kind of, you can just pick and choose whatever subjects you want.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed the graphic design subject that I did. So I transferred to that. And so I did a Bachelor of Visual Communication, which is a fancy way of saying a graphic design degree.
Yep. Yep.
And in that course, there was definitely a lot of photographic components. So I guess that's probably where my understanding for photography started.
Yep.
But yeah, so after uni, I was working as a graphic designer and I was working in the surfing industry, so working for surfing clients, and actually then had the opportunity to be the art director for the Boogie Bodyboarding magazine.
Yeah, great mag. I've got plenty of them sitting in the office right now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so meeting Phil was, yeah, like it was a really, actually we kind of met up to discuss me coming on board as the art director, and that was around the same time as I was sort of getting more into photography. I just got a housing and a DSLR, so having a mentor in Phil and also having an outlet for what I was shooting was kind of like a really good way to, yeah, learn and develop.
So what were some of the first steep learning curves or big things that you learned from working with Phil Gallagher?
He was always kind of like a big ideas guy, which I guess I kind of am as well. So it kind of comes back to that optimism. We had, you know, minimal budgets that we were working with, but we were always just trying to do as big an idea as we could. But I mean, even just general, a lot of technical things from Phil. I'm not sure if you're familiar with his work, but he's...
Yeah, no, I know like, his work quite well. He's one of the first people that I was really looking at when I started getting into photography as well. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, he's, as you know, then a pioneer of a lot of different ways of shooting surf and locations and just his sort of adventurous attitude, I think, is something that rubbed off on me as well. But yeah, I think, you know, working with him was great, and shooting for the magazine was, you know, incredible to be able to not just be shooting. And I think the process of shooting and then submitting to magazines is great. And I was still doing that, you know, submitting to other magazines and, you know, either getting accepted or knocked back. And a lot of the time you won't get a reason or even an email back. It'll just be kind of nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, working with Phil, there'd be direct criticism and feedback. And so it was kind of like, you know, learning in an incubator.
Yep.
And then, you know, I think probably one of the more maybe stylistic things that came about from that was I was like shooting for editorial. The goal was always a double page spread. So I think that sort of influenced how I shot things. I was always trying to get as sort of big a scene as possible. But at the same time, it may have affected my ability to miss the smaller things.
Yep.
So that's something I'm only learning to see a little more in the last few years, be able to see like the whole picture, not just the big aspect of it.
Yeah, or smaller parts of the grander picture, I suppose.
Exactly. Trying to sort of connect all the parts and understand it from a holistic perspective.
So you went from uni and then you bounced into Le Boogie and was working with Phil. What happened after then? Did you start really freelancing and sending work out to other publications as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole time I was still sending work out to other publications in the surfing community, and the bodyboarding industry was in an interesting place in that it was like lacking any significant support from within itself and externally as well. And we'd had a great run with Le Boogie. We actually, there was two last projects we did. We did a book and a movie called Passing Through. Yeah. And then we finished with a photo annual, and we kind of put everything we had left over into those last two projects.
Yep.
And
they were great. They were both great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. labors of love. And yeah, so we put both of our mental capacity and all of our funding into that. So we pretty much finished up at the end of those projects. We were thinking, okay, well, let's finish on a high and maybe let Le Boogie just end there.
Yeah.
And at the same time, spending probably between 6 to 9 months of the year traveling for the Passing Through project, I was pretty burnt out by travel, which sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but, you know, like I was acting as the producer and shooting and trying to manage people and managing budgets and, you know, all the last-minute flights. And, yeah, it was pretty taxing. So
yeah,
it kind of burnt me out, and I was ready for something new. It was also around the same time that I was shooting a lot with my wife for her company, and through that, there was more opportunities in the commercial world coming through. So
yeah, Nicole seems like a very, very interesting woman.
She is. She's a very interesting woman.
Can you talk a little bit about what she does and really how you've been able to collaborate with her on a creative level for work, I suppose?
Yeah. Well, she's a very intelligent and creative lady. And she started with an online vintage store. I'm trying to remember how long ago, maybe 10 years ago now. And basically just from the get-go, it went just amazingly well. She put, you know, a lot of effort and she basically just poured everything into it. So it wasn't surprising to see it go so well. But at the same time, she also started a blog before blogging was really a thing to coincide with the vintage store, and then sort of built them both up together. But then it got to a point where blogging was becoming more of a job for her than the vintage store. By that point, having an online vintage store was a bit of a trend. So she decided to, focus more on blogging and kind of being a creative consultant for a bunch of different brands. And now she's where she is now, which is at the top of the game, I guess.
Yeah. While I was doing my research on you, I was running into a lot of her stuff looking for you. So it's crazy. There was even a video on YouTube of her trying on her wedding dress, which had 150,000 views. I was like, wow, she's definitely a big deal for sure.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, she kind of was one of the original pioneers of that Instagram industry in Australia and internationally as well.
What's it like to work so closely with your wife on creative jobs? Do you ever clash with one another?
Yeah, for sure. We both have our way of seeing things. And if we don't necessarily see things the same way, then we'll clash. But at the same time, we do work really well together. We kind of have, over the last sort of, I guess, 3 or 4 years, been trying to work together less, just so that we can sort of focus on our individual careers. But when she was starting up, I was shooting a lot of her content, you know, helping her with even the graphic design of a lot of the things that she'd been incorporating into it, and basically helping her build it as it went on. And then it just sort of got to a point where we did realize that, do we want to have a romantic relationship or a business relationship?
Yeah, because absolutely.
We could see it going, not that it was, it was never that bad, but we just didn't want to go too far down one way and not be able to come back. So
exactly.
Yeah. I don't think it is a great idea to work in a business sense with your partner, or at least that was our experience.
Yeah.
It was really good in the start, but I think there's definitely not a longevity to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I've never really thought about it a whole heap until reading about yourself and Nicole and how you guys have been working together. It's interesting to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, we still work really well together, but now that it's on a much more kind of casual level, I'll still offer an opinion, but it's not like I'm producing the work. So, you know, she can take it with a grain of salt. So we still definitely help each other out a lot, but we've definitely actively tried to separate the business from the, life.
Relationship. Yeah. Ah, cool. Well, I sort of want to move on now and talk about your creative process. Can you talk to us about your creative process?
It's an interesting question. I usually have a bunch of different ideas going on at any one time, but the process changes for each. Sometimes it'll be just a matter of getting out there and start experimenting and shooting photos and getting a feel for what works for an idea. And then other times I'll just take a more reserved approach, let the idea simmer for a while, come back to it weeks later, have another look at it, do some more research on the idea, and then eventually pick up a camera. But it's just all varied.
Yeah.
I think the biggest issue with all of that is I'm really not much of a multitasker, so it does get hard to focus on just one thing when I've got all these different ideas floating around. So it's hard to get anything finished.
Yeah. So how do you go about getting rid of the shit ideas, I suppose, and following the good ones? Is there a process to that for you?
Yeah, well, it's a good question too. I don't think I've ever really given up on an idea yet. Maybe I probably should. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of, well, they're all different, you know, you kind of work through them all differently. And sometimes you'll be working on something you don't think works, and then, you know, 6 months down the track, something else will have a tie into it, and you'll have like a new way of looking at it, and then all of a sudden you've got a new direction with it. So I think it's probably not worth ever completely shutting something off. Being open to interpreting things in new ways as you learn and understand the world.
Yeah,
but like I said, it does get hard to when you've got so much going on to actually get anything done. I think I find the most effective way is to try and compartmentalize whatever I'm working on.
Yep.
So, you know, try and just do one thing at once, but that's even getting increasingly harder to do in the digital age. You're just sort of getting bombarded by everything all the time. So,
yeah, that's something which I've found very interesting with talking to a lot of my past guests is really, yeah, the being bombarded by seeing other people's work all the time and how that really goes about influencing them and their own work. Do you feel that at times that really impacts your work, or you find yourself steering your work to similar things you might have seen?
Yeah, it definitely has an impact. I just got one of the new apps on the phone. It tells you how much screen time you spend each day and week.
Okay. And it was pretty... That'd be scary to see for me personally, I think. What was your number?
Yeah, it's pretty confronting. It was like 3.5-4 hours a day on average last week, which is, wow. I mean, you've got to break that down. I do a lot of emailing on my phone. And,
yeah, exactly. And work stuff.
General work stuff, and probably spent an hour a day or more watching NBA Live. So
yeah, nice.
Yeah, but so even just knowing how much time you spend on your phone, obviously there's going to be a lot of influence because I do spend, you know, a bit of time on Instagram. But I don't necessarily look at Instagram specifically for the images. I look at it more as a reference point or a starting off point.
Okay.
I think what you see on there, there's a lot of the same, and it just, you kind of get desensitized to it. So when I do see something interesting, then I'll explore that further, but away from Instagram usually. I mean, it's a great tool for keeping up with people. And it's always like a hard thing to understand how to utilize it as well. Actually, interesting thought. I have a project I'm working on at the moment, which I can't talk too much about, which,
yep.
And I hate.
That's cool. That's cool.
I hate when people do
that. Yeah, just tease us, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But I actually have to come up with an alter ego for part of it.
Okay.
And for reasons I can't go into because it's a super secret project, I can't tell you about.
Yeah.
And even just the idea of being able to create an alter ego and then the thought of what I could do with a completely different entity altogether. And I was just sort of joking around and thinking what I could do. It felt a lot more free, because I think what the problem is, well, not the problem, but one of the things about being a photographer is it's very much you're the person that's directly linked to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're working for a company, the company is the entity. And so you invest so much of yourself into how you're presented and how you're seen and how your work's seen. And you have to sort of stick true to yourself as a person, because that's how you come across to the audience.
Yeah.
But there's certain elements that I think are definitely tied to ego that I didn't realize I had. So
I think that's a great point. I mean, the idea of creating a alter ego, I mean, how easy would that be? You can just make it to be whatever you want, and you don't have to worry about what anyone thinks of your alter ego, because it's not actually you. And like, I think that's definitely a hard thing with creatives. And I actually read in a past interview where you said that it takes a lot of confidence to put something out in the world and stand behind it. And I think that is something which creatives, photographers, artists, designers, you name it. I mean, that's something at times which can really lead to a lot of vulnerability and heartache. Has there been a time in your journey where you've really had to get over feelings of inadequacy or get over the fact that some people just might not like your work?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of times I feel that way. You know, I think I've realized more lately that it doesn't matter so much depending on what the work is. Obviously, if it's for a commercial client, you're working to a brief and you've got, you know, goals and objectives that they're trying to achieve. So there's sort of a direct response that you need to reach. If it's more personal work, you know, I'm creating it for myself. So it's less of a worry how it's received. But I think at the same time, I've got to definitely let go of some of my perfectionism, because a lot of the time it means I'm not putting enough work, or I'm not putting work out there for people to see and then get the feedback from. It's kind of a vicious cycle, actually.
Yeah.
But and then at the same time, if someone turns around and says, you know, I don't like that, that's shit, I'm not going to take that on board at all. If they say, I don't like that, that's shit, and this is why, then I'll listen to it. I don't necessarily take it on board either if I don't agree with it, but I appreciate feedback.
Another thing which I wanted to sort of make a note of about your work is, for me, I'm personally inspired and feel like your work is at times pretty close to the perfect balance of sort of editing an image to highlight parts of it, but without taking away from the true particular tones or colors from the scenes that you were shooting. Is this something that you consciously try to do with your work?
Yeah, well, that's interesting feedback.
There we go. There's a bit of feedback.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's not like that for everything that I do, but, and especially things that I'm working on at the moment, they're kind of getting more away from that. But in the past, definitely, like, I've tried to keep things true to the scene and, you know, just elevate them to a point that I guess best represents actually being there and witnessing it in person.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing about producing work for myself. In the end, the final print or image or whatever, it is just a representation of having experienced that whole act of creation. So from the starting point where it's just an idea, and then research, and then even the travel and the shooting and being out there immersed in all the elements, that's what I love the most about, you know, everything to do with photography.
Yeah.
And the image is just an end result.
You sort of mentioned it there, but I kind of want to ask you, what is creativity to you?
Creativity is a direct influence of your life experience and how you see the world, and then being able to put that into some sort of form, depending on what form you take. I mean, yeah, definitely photography is, I love photography, but it's not the only medium I like to work in. You know, I've been looking more at doing some sculptural work as well.
So okay, cool.
You know, I like the idea of being able to take, and this kind of goes for crossing across industries, crossing genres. You know, like, I like to take elements from one area and take them and put them in something that you probably wouldn't necessarily associate it with. So it's coming back to the original question, I think creativity is just trying to better understand the world, basically.
No, I really like that. And especially the way that you were just talking about how you cross mediums, I suppose, with creativity. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about that, I mean, I obviously see that in your work completely, but, you know, Trent Mitchell, some of his work is just incredible in the sense that although it's a photo that's obviously taken on a camera, you could blow that up and put that on a wall and people would not think that it's a photo taken with a camera. They'd think that it's probably like a artist had done it using paint. I think that's something which is very special, I suppose. I mean, I'm on a bit of a tangent there, but it just kind of was running through my head. So, hey, let's talk about it.
No, yeah, let's talk. I mean, I heard the interview you did with Trent, which was really insightful. That was great. Yeah. I'm a big fan of his work. And, you know, when he's talking about how he was painting at a young age, and then it sort of has come full circle to the point where what he's doing now is more a true representation of what he was painting as a child. Like, it's, you know, and everything he's learned from then to now, it's just, it's all a culmination of experience.
What do you think influenced you to get into photography? Can you stem that back to something, or?
Yeah, originally, it's kind of funny. Originally, photography really appealed to me because it seemed like it was such an instant thing. At that time, I kind of had a really short attention span, or I don't know if having a short attention span would be the way to put it. I think I'm still the same. I think I just want to try and do everything. But yeah, at the time, photography really appealed because it seemed like I could be really productive in a short time frame. Little did I know that it's not like that at all. But that's what got me into photography. And, you know, originally I really loved the idea of coming back to what I was talking about, where I didn't necessarily see a career path in the creative industries. I think photography was maybe the most direct link between that.
Yeah.
You know, I always loved the idea of being able to travel for work and create. And then also, you know, growing up as a surfer and around the ocean, I just wanted to be around that more. So yeah, surf photography seemed like the obvious conclusion.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there was very little money involved in that.
Yeah, hey, but you got to find out the hard way, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, even still, like, at the time I was still working as a graphic designer, so I still had an income,
yep.
But I still wouldn't change that 4 or 5 years of travel, but not necessarily saving much, but, you know, seeing the world. And yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah. So did you just quit your design job and sort of just go, fuck it, I'm just going to put all my eggs in one basket here and just run it, photography?
No, I still do design work now. I actually really enjoy being able to work in different industries at the same time. And like I said, it's all a crossover. Things you learn in one, you can apply to the other. But yeah, at the moment, I'm actually designing a book for, I don't know if you're familiar with Jem Creswell.
Yes, yep.
He is an amazing photographer, and he's been shooting... I won't talk about it too much because I'm not sure where we're at with actually getting the book finished. But yeah, he's been shooting a project for years now, and we're putting it all together into one really nicely presented piece that, it's great. I mean, designing a book is like the dream job. You're just laying out photos and... it's minimal actual design. It's just like the fine tuning tweaks here and there, and all the subtleties to it, which is what I enjoy about design the most, the typography. And those sort of jobs are actually a really great motivation as well. And getting to test things out that I might, in future apply to other, either design jobs or photography, or even, you know, if I'm going to create a book in the future, you know, it's all just experimenting and learning. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool. So I just, I kind of want to move this on a little bit now, and I want to ask business advice that you might be able to give our listeners, as that's something, especially in the early days, where it's kind of hard to start making money as a creative these days. It's a lot of doing work for free, and it's a lot of, like we said earlier, putting your work out there and hoping people will like it, I suppose. Do you have any advice that really might allow creatives to start making money earlier, or maybe even start thinking about that earlier?
Yeah. I think working for free isn't necessarily the right way of going about it. Definitely to a degree. If you're going to work for free, I would suggest making it more of an internship, so that there's, you know, a prolonged period in which you're working with just the one person.
Yep.
You know, that way it's not just one job you're doing for free and they can sort of brush you off and go to the next person and get them to do it for free.
Yeah.
And
I suppose you can probably get a reference from that person as well, if you've done a bit of work for them for a bit of time afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can get feedback as time goes on. They can tell you what you're doing right and wrong. And then eventually you have experience. So then when you go and apply for another job, which it's always the chicken and the egg, you can't get because you don't have experience, but you can't get experience because you don't have a job.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to work for free, make sure it's a couple of months at least, which is obviously hard because you've got to pay the bills. But I guess the other thing is having a secondary income to start with, I think, is a good idea. That's how I worked to start with, working as a designer, and then sort of slowly built up photography clients. And and like I said, I still do both because I enjoy doing both. But in terms of just general business advice, I would say there's probably three key ingredients. One would be you have to be liked. You know, if people don't want to work with you, then you're not going to get jobs. So you can't just be an asshole. That's not just, you know, you don't have to be the most charismatic person. You just have to be, you know, polite, on time. People have to enjoy working with you. So all of those sort of general things. Number two would be you have to be good at networking, which I'm not very good at, so that's a skill I'm still trying to learn.
Yep.
But you know, that's a huge advantage. If you're a good networker, that's how you get yourself out there. And then the third thing is you have to have some sort of skill. It's probably not the most essential of those three ingredients. You know, you can be very successful if people like working with you and you're a good networker. and still decent at what you do, but
yeah,
being exceptionally talented doesn't actually equate to being successful.
Yeah.
So
there's amazing pieces of advice. I suppose this sort of leads on to another question which I wanted to ask you, and that's, what's the best piece of advice, or one of the best pieces of advice that you've ever received?
You know, I'm not sure if I could give you, you know, the single best piece of advice I've ever received. I think the most important thing is having relationships with people that you, you know, trust in their advice. And so you're getting that advice on a regular basis and feedback, and especially when you're learning, I think that's essential.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. You know, even when I was in graphic design, I had a great mentor. And when I moved into photography, obviously Phil Gallagher was an endless source of inspiration and feedback. But yeah, I think maybe the best piece of ideology would be, not necessarily advice, but when you're going out and dreaming about what you want to achieve, you might have a goal. And then once you reach that, you go above that. You know, it's like a stepping stone kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, why not just start at the top? Have no ceiling with what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, I really like the idea of working without a ceiling when it comes to ambitious goals. That's really great. But I suppose now I'd like to ask, how do you relate with the fear of failure? Has there been a time when this has affected you?
Actually, after finishing up with Le Boogie and moving into more commercial work for photography, there was definitely kind of a time there where I was questioning where, you know, what direction I wanted to move in. And, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily a fear of failure, but it was just, it was definitely a bit of disillusionment as to what I wanted to be doing, which probably stemmed from some sort of inadequacy or yeah, I'm not really sure, but
yeah,
it's definitely something that everyone deals with, I think, in the creative industries. Especially when you put work out there, if you're, I'm not sure if this necessarily relates, but like I'm never satisfied with any work that I do. So you're constantly critiquing yourself. So I guess the fear of failure is very much self-imposed. You know, you obviously want to have a good response from an audience, but it's more so, yeah, it's more so self-imposed, I think. But that's also just, well, I think it's good in a way because you're constantly pushing and growing from that. If you were ever completely satisfied with work that you do, that's when you kind of stagnate.
Yeah, exactly. If you were always satisfied, you'd sort of just, you know, drop the camera, I suppose, you know, and just say, that's it. I've done it. I'm as satisfied as I can be with it.
Yeah, that's it. Like, what's the point? If you're completely satisfied with something, then challenge yourself, move on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I know that there's going to be a few people, they're probably just thinking, damn, these guys have been talking a whole heap about stuff, but I want to know advice that's going to help me right now. So I know you've already given a whole heap of advice in the past hour or so, but what are three tips or pieces of advice that you would give passionate photographers or creatives starting out today?
Well, okay, I guess with anything, especially photographers, to start with, I would just be shooting as much as possible, everything and anything. I don't necessarily, well, I do now have a camera on me at all times. Everyone does. It's in our phones. But yep, there was a time where I would have a camera on me, like a DSLR on me at all times. And you definitely have to understand when to put it down and experience the world. But I think if you want to learn, the best way is to just take as many photos as possible.
Yeah.
So that would be advice number one. So number two, I think a big thing for me is don't be afraid to ask questions. A lot of the time people kind of might have this feeling of, if you're asking a question, you sound or feel stupid. But,
yeah,
you know, what's more stupid than not knowing something is not asking about it and then understanding it.
Yeah, so exactly.
Never feel like you're the odd one out by asking a question. But then also don't be afraid or don't feel bad if people tell you no. If they tell you no, ask them why. And this is more for if you're submitting work or, you know, applying for a job or, you know, anything along those lines. Yeah. People are going to say no a lot, and you've kind of got to build up a bit of thick skin. But the best thing to do is to understand why they've said no, and learn from it.
The last thing that I want to ask you today is, what's something that's been working for you recently?
Well, I think I've definitely been learning to embrace networking a bit more. Networking was never my strength, but it's something that I've been actively working on. And I think it is one of those things too, like anything, there's a reason why you maybe feel like you can't do it, but then as soon as you start doing it, you realize it's not that hard.
Yeah.
It kind of ties back into what I was talking about earlier about having, an alter ego and then the freedom that would bring. Because I think, I know who I am. I'm 34 years old. I'm very comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
And it's not like I could walk into a room full of people and start selling myself as a photographer. But then the kind of question is, why can't I do that? Because that's what I do. It's just finding that kind of happy medium that you're comfortable within yourself and that's going to work for you. So that's something I've been working on more, and especially being somewhere a lot more social here in New York. It's hard to network from north of Oka on the New South Wales central coast because there's nowhere to do it. I think maybe what has been working for me recently then I would say is being out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's a great way of, just expanding.
Yeah, I like that. So what's been some things that you've been doing recently to really expand or get yourself out of your comfort zone?
Well, I think moving across the other side of the world has definitely helped with that.
I bet it has.
being exposed to a completely contrasting, way of life over here. I actually had to go home for a couple of weeks. So I'd been here for about 2 months here in New York, and I had to go home for a couple of weeks. And I kind of came to the realization that where I live on the Central Coast, it's kind of like living in a holiday in a way. Like, it's just such a nice, peaceful setting, and you can really get complacent. You get stuck in this sort of mentality of, oh, I can do that tomorrow kind of thing. Time sort of loses all meaning.
Yeah.
And then that contrast to here where it's just go, go, go and everything's happening and there's all these opportunities and inspiration. So, I think being outside of my comfort zone has been, a real eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
Which has been working really well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great advice as well, I think. And just saying, man, I reckon that you're probably one of the few people that I know that could probably just walk into a room full of people and not even open your mouth and just put your photos on some sort of slideshow and just point at it. And then people would get the picture straight away. They're like, this guy knows what he's doing. Like, this guy doesn't even need a talk.
Oh, thank you. I mean, that's usually my go-to. I just won't even talk and I'll just get the phone out as fast as I can and let the photos do the talking.
Exactly, man. Yeah. Hey, I like it. So I just want to take this moment, like I normally do, just to let the audience know, like always, you can find a whole heap of stuff over at pitchedindustries.com. So you can find some of Luke's work, some articles that I've written regarding certain things that we've spoken about in other episodes regarding business and a whole heap of other shit. But Luke, are there any places in particular you'd like today's audience to go to find out more about what you've got planned for the future and maybe see more of your work?
Yeah, Instagram would be probably the go-to, which is just at Luke Shadbolt, and my website is sporadically updated, which is lukeshadbolt.com. And then also, if I'm doing any exhibitions, it's usually through my gallery in Sydney or Berlin, which is michaelreed.com.au. so
awesome. Anyway, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time, Luke, to chat with me today and answer these questions. It's been unreal getting the chance to do this, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I think you're doing an incredible job so far. The ones I've listened to are great, and hopefully you can get some sort of coherence out of my general ramblings.
Hey, it was great, man. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that's just about it for today, guys. Thank you so much again for listening to this podcast, and I really hope that you were able to take a few things away with you from today's episode with Luke Shadbolt. If you haven't already, could you please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and even leave a review if you've got time? That'd just be really, really helpful with getting this podcast out there so more and more people can listen to it each week. Otherwise, you can join in the conversation over on the gram at Pitched Industries, where you'll be able to keep in the loop with any future guests that I'll be having on the show, as well as just get in contact with me directly and let me know if there's anyone in particular who you'd like me to reach out to interview. But anyway, guys, until next week, I hope you have an awesome week, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you next week. Cheers.